This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about poppy seeds.
And we're back. We're back in person for the first time in a while.
Yes. So I'll be clearing my throat right here next to Matthew because every time we record in the morning, I've got morning throat.
Yep. And I'll be just like...
What will you be doing?
I'll be making the sound of the belted kingfisher, which which a listener kindly sent to me, which
Can
sounds
you do
something
it?
Like... I'm doing it badly.
That's pretty good. You know, I was listening on the way over here to...
Bird songs?
No, but I was listening...
Andrew Bird songs?
I was listening on the way over here to a really interesting Planet Money episode about Osage head rights.
Yes, yeah.
And anyway, the woman who did the imitation of the sound of the oil derrick... Sounds, you know, not unlike the belted kingfisher.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, today's episode, Poppy Seeds, was suggested by listener Toby.
Thanks, listener Toby. And I have a feeling this was suggested probably years ago.
I think so, too, because I do remember scrolling past this in our list of possible episode ideas.
Scrolling.
Doom scrolling, as they call it. Yep.
Oh, God. Poppy seeds.
Oh.
Onion rings.
Oh. Okay.
Wait, these are all good things.
So, listen, I'm
listening.
I'm ready to start out with my memory lane here.
Okay. Let's do it.
Which is that, okay, so I have talked before about the time in my childhood, aka history, when bagels arrived in Oklahoma. Okay.
I'm sure I made the same joke last time. It was the Oklahoma bagel rush.
That's right. And they set up camp in Cassidy Square.
Okay.
At the New York bagel shop.
Been there. Not to Cassidy Square.
And the first bagel that I ever came to call my favorite bagel was a poppy seed bagel.
Excellent.
And I think that was my introduction to poppy seeds. Like, full stop.
Yeah, I think mine was either a bagel or a hamantaschen.
Okay. You know what, Matthew? I don't think I've ever had a hamantaschen.
I should have gotten some. I'm not going to make some,
I think that this makes me, if nothing else, made me a truly bad, like, secular half-Jew.
Okay.
This makes me really bad.
Yeah, like you already were like on the ropes, and this pushed you over into purgatory.
That's right.
Yeah, I've had plenty of hamantaschen in my time. Like, I gotta say, like, I know of, like, probably danced around this before, but, like, you know, I am Jewish on both sides, and, like, there just aren't any, like, you know, beloved Jewish foods that are my personal favorites. And I would put hamantaschen in that category. I do enjoy a good poppy seed bagel.
Wait, so you're saying it's not one of your favorites?
Not one of my favorites.
Okay, what about other forms of other flavors of hamantaschen?
All of them are fine. Like, I don't hate them.
My God. You're going to get us canceled.
I mean, not you, like, we've already been canceled ever since you said the thing about biscuits and gravy.
Oh.
So it's fine. No, like, zero listeners left, and we're just like wanking this in our own parlor here.
Ew. Yuck. Ow. I'm not even going to repeat that.
Why would you?
Just to try to unpack it.
Mm.
No, Matthew, we actually got canceled back when we said we prefer cold fruit to room temperature
that's
fruit.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. So I think actually my first encounter, so my dad was Jewish, you know, in the bloodline sense, mm-hmm. albeit not in the religious sense. So I am not technically Jewish at all. But I remember, you know, I would hear about various like pastries and things that I actually was never offered or were, never showed up in my household.
Okay, sure.
But when I went to Paris for the first time as like a young adult, like living there with a host family, the Marais was like a newly hip neighborhood at that time.
Sure.
This was a long time ago. And there are a number of really well-established Jewish bakeries in the Marais, which is historically Jewish area in the center of Paris.
Yeah.
I remember standing in the window. I mean, I would pass by them all the time going to and from the subway. And I remember standing, like looking through the window all the time, like marveling at this sheer density of ground poppy seeds in some of these pastries,
yes.
in these Jewish bakeries. Like,
yeah.
You know, more than an inch thick of ground poppy seeds in a pastry.
And
that
was my first time
ever encountering that.
Yeah, I don't think I realized until like, you know, long after I should have that there's a difference between whole poppy seeds and ground poppy seeds. I think I assumed for a long time that they're so small, like what would you get out of grinding them?
You know, I still don't know, Matthew. So I'm hoping you can tell me a little bit about it.
I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit.
Because the truth is when I did go into those bakeries, what I bought was this like really dense chocolate cake
sure.
type thing.
Oh, I didn't realize you were even going to go in. I thought you were just going to press your face up against the glass.
No, I would marvel at the poppy seed pastries, and then I would go in and buy this like really dense chocolate cake that was like close to a brownie.
Sure.
Oh my God.
That sounds good.
So good. So good.
Yeah. So I remember Hamantaschen and poppy seed bagels, like specifically where and when. I don't know. I know definitely like New York Bagel Boys, I think was the name of the bagel place near me in the suburbs of Portland. And I know I would get poppy seed bagel sometimes, everything bagel, which includes poppy seeds sometimes. And I remember lemon poppy seed muffins and almond poppy seed muffins also.
So my freshman dining hall in college, they had, I remember on top of the salad bar, there were always like slices of cake, like plated
sure.
on plates. And they had a bundt cake that was an almond poppy seed bundt cake. And I think it was the first time I had ever encountered a cake that was like so intensely almond extracty.
So good. Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so good. It was life-changing. Truly, truly. That was where I discovered how much I love almond extract.
Yeah, like I would totally go for an almond poppy seed muffin or cake over lemon poppy seed. I have Betty Crocker lemon poppy seed muffins here because I wanted to have some poppy seed thing.
What does the poppy... Well, we're going to eat these. And
oh, yeah.
I want to talk about what we actually think the poppy seed in the small quantities in which it appears in these muffins, what we think it actually contributes.
Oh, I think it contributes something. And we'll talk about it.
Okay, great. Okay.
All right. Shall we invite Mr. Botany?
Yeah, can I eat a muffin while Mr.
Yeah,
Botany is on his way?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to, like, these are muffins from a box. Are they great? No. Are they fine? Yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, so what are poppy seeds? Well, poppy seeds are the seeds of the opium poppy, Poppaver somniferum.
I've grown them.
Okay. And people have been eating them and using them medicinally for millennia, to the point that the Ebers Papyrus from circa 1550 BC from ancient Egypt mentions poppy seeds as a sedative. However, the seeds are relatively low in opiates compared to the rest of the plant.
I want to say, actually, I haven't grown the opium poppy specifically. I've grown the bread seed poppy, which used to be illegal to grow.
Sure.
Anyway, go on.
No, that was something I did not actually know, that you cannot get edible poppy seeds from any kind of poppy that cannot also be used to make opium,
that's
morphine,
right.
or heroin.
That's right.
Okay,
but so Matthew, are we going to get high?
We are
on these muffins.
I mean, maybe if you really love boxed muffins.
You know, this boxed muffin is way better than most of what you find in a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm. It's got some crispiness to the edges.
Mm-hmm. Also, the poppy seeds already, I've got some thoughts on what they're contributing.
Okay, so the seeds come from the seed pod. And this is the first time I can remember in quite a while that the fruit that we're talking about is not a berry or a drupe. It's a capsule.
Oh my God. Ring the bells.
And a capsule.
What a day.
A capsule is just like a, it's a very simple fruit. It's just like a hard leathery shell with some amount of seeds inside. And in this case, it's a lot.
Does it contain like a cassette tape and like magazines and stuff? And was it buried for a while?
Yes. This is a time capsule. It's got, what's on the cassette, do you think?
Belinda Carlisle.
I was gonna say like King Crimson for some reason. I think of time capsules as being like a 60s, 70s thing.
Okay, so let's put on there, I don't know, CCR.
Yeah, Joni Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. What else is in our seed capsule?
So I mean, thousands of poppy seeds. And I learned something while researching this episode that I never knew before and was shocked.
Okay.
If I had said to you, it's too late now because you've seen the agenda, but just like take yourself back a few minutes. If I had said to you, what shape are poppy seeds? What would you have said?
Round.
Yeah, I would have said spherical. They are not. They are kidney shaped.
Really?
Yes. If you zoom in.
Did you get out a magnifying glass?
I did not get out of it. I have a magnifying glass. I don't have any poppy seeds other than the ones that are in these muffins.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we can pull up a photo of, like, an electron micrograph.
It's fine.
It doesn't even have to be electron.
I was going to say, wow, how powerful do we need this to be?
We have to magnify at least 2 million times. But, no, they're little kidney-shaped seeds.
That's so cute. So, hold on. Can I go back to the capsule really quick?
The time capsule? Yeah.
So, the seed pod, you say it looks like a little ball with grooves on top, and it contains, like, tons and tons of these little seeds. So I just want to add that if you've ever grown poppies, especially like bread seed poppies where this is really visible, I mean, you know, when the petals and the stamen and stuff fall off, you've got this ball up there and it is literally full of poppy seeds. Like if you shake it, it sounds like a little maraca.
Yeah. Like every, botanically speaking, every fruit and like culturally speaking, most fruits, it's the enlarged ovary of the plant.
Yeah. No. And in the case of a poppy, it is particularly huge and visible.
It's engorged.
Oh, corpus callosum.
What?
Isn't that the tissue that becomes engorged in a poppy?
Isn't corpus callosum like the like wires between the two sides of the brain?
I thought that it was the spongy tissue that holds a poppy erect.
I don't think
no,
so.
You see what I'm using poppy as a metaphor for.
So wait, but I don't think there's corpus callosum in the penis either. Is that what you're getting at? Because I don't think so.
Wait a minute, we gotta look this up.
Okay, just Google what's in the penis.
What's in the penis? Oh, that's funny.
You're trying to come up with like the medical term for like the erectile tissue.
Shh.
Okay. I don't know the answer.
Okay, hold on.
I know it's not corpus callosum, I think.
You're right. Corpus callosum is the primary commissural region of the brain, consisting of white matter tracts that connect to the left and right hemisphere.
Yep, uh-huh. Pretty important.
So now do I Google what's in the penis?
I do not know how to form a search query that isn't just going to result in a billion dick pics.
The penis. Oh, the parts of the penis are the base, shaft, glands, and foreskin. Corpus cavernosum.
Oh,
and
nice.
Corpus spongiosum.
There's corpus spongiosum?
Yes. Corpus cavernosum and corpus spongiosum.
Of all the things I didn't know I was carrying around.
You know, I am thrilled.
I'm
impressed.
I at least
got the corpus and the
yes.
Right.
No, I'm giving you, you're right. You get like an A minus for this.
Thank you.
or a D plus.
All right. Okay, let's get back to business here. How many?
Can we? Okay.
Okay, where were we?
You were going to set me up for this fact about like how many poppy seeds are in a gram.
Okay, a gram being
a very small amount.
So like 1/28th of an ounce.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
There are about 3,300
wow.
poppy seeds in a gram and about 1 to 2 million in a pound.
Wow. Okay. So these things are grown where?
Mostly Turkey, the Czech Republic, and Spain.
Spain.
I feel like every time we look up a plant, like turkey is always like way up there on the list. So where like turkey is
apricots.
Is like a real like monster when it comes to agricultural exports.
Yeah. What happens to the rest of the plant? So you said that actually the seeds are pretty low in opium.
Yeah.
Compared to the rest of the plant. So what happens to the rest of the plant?
Yeah. So I didn't realize this that, okay. So first of all, the remainder after the poppy seeds are harvested, the parts that haven't already fallen off, like the petals are gone by then. Sure. And you've got the seed pod and the dried stem, and that's called the poppy straw. And that is the part that is used to extract morphine and other opiates. And to this day, almost all of the morphine used medicinally is made from poppies. It's not like it can
it's
be.
It's not fabricated.
It can be artificially synthesized, but it is cheaper and easier to just extract it from poppies.
Interesting. Okay. And wait, just to be clear, if it were synthesized in a lab, that would be, we would call it an opioid as opposed to an opiate.
I'm not sure if that refers to like the process, the production process or the chemical structure.
Or something. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
And so you have probably heard tell that like, you know, eating too many poppy seeds can make you fail a drug test. I didn't know whether this was like an urban legend, and I didn't know whether drug tests had gotten more sophisticated and would have like fewer false positives. I found guidance from the Department of Defense dated February 2023 warning service members not to eat any foods with poppy seeds because it can show up positive for codeine on a drug test.
Wow.
So it didn't, it's not actually like a ban. It just strongly recommends. I did not know that the Department of Defense made strong recommendations. I figured it was always like, you know, do this, don't do that.
Like, what does this stuff taste like? Because in truth, so I've now just eaten an entire one of these muffins, and mostly what I can identify about the poppy seeds, granted, we're talking about a boxed muffin mix here.
But mostly
what I'm getting is this delightful little crunch.
Get the little crunch, but I feel like I always want to describe the flavor as throaty. And I know that doesn't mean anything, but it's like, it's that I feel the flavor kind of hangs out like in the back of the mouth for me.
Do you have any just poppy seeds in a jar?
I don't think we do.
Oh my God. I should have brought some.
I should have gotten some.
Okay.
But like,
I mean, I guess I'm thinking of, okay, so I'm going to think about the difference
between.
We're
going to spend the next couple of hours picking them out of these muffins.
No, but I'm thinking about the difference in flavor between a poppy seed muffin and a sesame seed muffin.
Okay.
I mean, a poppy seed bagel and a sesame seed bagel.
Do the thing I just did. Like pluck one out of there and like, you know, with as little muffin flesh as possible and eat it, because it has a very distinct flavor. Like, I think of it, like, I don't know how to describe it. I'm like a, you know, failed food writer. But I think of it as being kind of like celery in the sense that you don't think of it as having any particular flavor, just texture. But then when you actually eat it, you're like, oh, this has like a pretty intense flavor. No?
I feel like I'm still getting like a whiff of the lemon flavoring.
Fine.
No, but I think I know what you mean, because like just think about the difference between a poppy seed bagel and a sesame seed bagel, or even a plain bagel, a poppy seed bagel and a plain bagel.
No, they taste very different from sesame seeds. I'm glad you brought up sesame bagels, because while I was researching, I learned that the two most popular flavors of Montreal bagel.
Oh, there we go. I got the flavor.
Good.
I got the flavor. You're right. There's something vegetal about it.
The two most popular flavors of Montreal bagel are Graine Noire, which is poppy seed, and Graine Blanche, which is sesame.
Oh, that I like.
Isn't that cute?
That's a nice way
of
saying it.
And I also learned, this has nothing to do with poppy seeds, but that the French term for New York bagels is Le Bagel New Yorkais, Le Bagel New Yorkais.
Mm.
It wouldn't be Bagel, would it?
I don't think so.
Le Bagel New Yorkais.
I think they'd say like Le Bagel.
Le Bagel New Yorkais.
I think something like that.
So, yeah. So the most desirable poppy seeds, it seems like, are the bluish ones. Mm-hmm. But different varieties of poppy produce different colors of seeds. And white and black seeds are also popular. And they all taste about the same, it seems like.
Do you think that if I – so right now at home – so we're recording this at a time when it's the beginning of the growing season here. Did you know that the average last frost date in Seattle is April 6th?
I didn't know that. Wife of the show, Lori, and I were talking about recently how we remember it snowing in Seattle in April like several times.
Yes.
since we've lived here, like never sticking, but like a little flakage.
Yeah. So I have been starting seedlings like in my kitchen in the window. And I, some of what I started were California poppies. And
a seedling is just a small seed, right?
It's like a small plant.
I know.
Yes. And so my poppies have not done well. So I'm going to direct seed them into the ground instead of transplanting these little seedlings outside. So I've still got like, you know, packets of seeds because I didn't use all of it. Could I like eat one of them? Well, like would something
grow in your tummy?
Would something grow? I love it when you say tummy. would it taste bad? Like would I die if I ate like a seed that is like a California poppy seed? Or I mean, is there a particular type of poppy? Is it the bread seed poppy that all of these edible seeds are coming from?
So I think as long as it's Poppyverse somniferum, it produces edible seeds. And the other types of poppies don't produce like poisonous seed. They just don't taste as good.
Okay.
So I think you'll be fine. Like, give it a try.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
don't sue me if you're not fine.
Okay. I won't sue you. I haven't sued you yet, and you've given me all kinds of bad advice on this show.
That is absolutely true. That's a good point. Yeah, I should definitely consider myself in the clear at this point.
Mm-hmm. Streaming May 23rd only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right.
Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever. I've tried.
Would you like me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show, streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Poppy seed paste is the most common filling for Hamantaschen. And have you ever ground poppy seeds?
I haven't.
I haven't either.
Just in a mortar and pestle?
You can do it in a mortar and pestle. They also make poppy seed grinders with like a little crank. Which looks fun.
Have you ever tasted ground poppy seeds or poppy seed paste?
In a Hamantaschen, yes, absolutely. Okay. Like straight, no.
Okay.
That would probably be a good way to really get the poppy seed flavor.
Sure. In a Hamantaschen or other pastry like that, is the paste sweetened?
It is, yes.
Okay. Okay.
Used in cakes and muffins, obviously. Poppy seed rolls are really common in Central and Eastern Europe in a variety of countries. And it's like a yeasted roll cake. So like a thin yeasted dough spread with poppy seed paste, rolled up and baked and then sliced.
I love the thought of that.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, do you know the Little Prague bakery that shows up? Little Prague bakery founded by members of King Crimson.
It's at Farmer's Market.
At Farmer's Market, yeah. In Seattle. I'm sure they have something like a poppy seed roll, not literally just a poppy seed roll.
Yeah. So, Matthew, so something that I think about people loving to use poppy seeds in is salad dressing.
Yeah, I sort of forgot that. So I never use poppy seeds. Let's get this out there,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like, I like them fine. I think they're really good in an almond or lemon muffin or pound cake. That's kind of as far as it goes for me.
Okay. What kind of bagel do you order these days if you go buy a bagel?
Sesame or cheddar jalapeno.
Okay, great. All right. Still no poppy seeds.
I mean, I do like an everything bagel. Those usually have poppy seeds. Always, mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And but have you had a poppy seed salad dressing? As soon as I Googled it, there were like a million recipes.
Oh my gosh, tons of recipes. Okay, so here's the thing. I think of poppy seed dressings as being on the sweet side. Mm.
A lot of people like sweet salad dressings.
I do not like a sweet salad
dressing.
Me
neither.
I do not put any sweetener of any kind in my salad dressing. I don't want it. Matthew, I think it's snowing.
Whoa, is it?
See?
Maybe.
The flakes look white and slow.
I think it's like a wintry mix.
Oh, wintry mix. That's mm-hmm. right. Did you see the hail yesterday?
Oh, yeah. We were in the hail.
I was in the hail, too. I was outside weeding.
So wait, it hailed like right after, like we went to see Cots J. Is that Kid of the Show June?
Kid of the Show June.
Performing in a children's play. And then it hailed like right after that.
Oh, I was indoors at the cast party.
Right, because Watson and I went to get soft serve at Indigo Cow on 45th, which was excellent, and got hailed on.
Oh, wow. Okay, I got hailed on yesterday. Wow, this is a really interesting tangent.
Mm-hmm. You got hailed on like a cab.
Hang on. But Matthew, back to poppy seed dressing. I really like actively dislike a salad dressing that has been sweetened.
Yeah, I usually do too. Sometimes I'll get a dressing in like a Japanese or Thai restaurant that's obviously sweetened that kind of hits the spot. But in general, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I have never encountered a poppy seed dressing that I liked. In fact, I would actively avoid anything labeled poppy seed dressing.
Okay. You heard it here.
Yeah.
This just in. We just got more canceled. Okay. Apparently, they're really good in buttered egg noodles. People do that a lot. That sounds good to me. I would
really
try that.
Good. Yeah. That sounds really good. Okay.
I read that poppy seeds used for bird seed are called maw seeds. This is according to Wikipedia. Molly, you are our local bird feeder. Do you know of maw seeds?
I don't. Okay. I don't. No. I use sunflower seeds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Remember when we did a sunflower seed episode and they were really hard to crack?
I still don't understand. I don't understand people just absentmindedly shelling sunflower seeds with their teeth.
I mean, I think it's a thing you do if you've got a lot of spare time.
Yeah. I mean, is this why it happens in like the dugout? Because you're just like waiting for your turn and...
Yeah. Whenever I'm in the dugout, I'm just like kicking around, like chewing on like I got my chaw, I've got my snuff, I got my sunflower seeds.
Do you have your maw seeds?
I got my maw seeds. And like by the time I get out to the mound, no, to the, what's to the batter's
the
box?
Plate.
To the, yeah, by the time I get to the plate. Yeah, it's the
plate. Okay.
By the time I step up to the plate, I've pockets of so many different things in various parts of my mouth. And I have that.
Not to mention all the pockets of your clothing.
Yes. Yeah. No. Like I am a walking time capsule. I've got like a King Crimson cassette in one pocket.
What is the deal with King Crimson?
I don't know. I said it once and then I couldn't stop
saying
it.
When you say King Crimson, for some reason, I keep picturing George Clinton and like
different. I mean, both. Like cool people from the 60s, 70s.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, wait, King Crimson did Dancing in the Moonlight.
Did they? Is that right?
Well, we're going to find out.
Okay, I'm not sure if that's right, but you're probably right.
Hold on. King Crimson. It was prog rock. I didn't
realize
that.
Yeah, no, King Crimson did like 21st century schizoid man, 20th century? I don't remember the title.
King Crimson hits. Oh. Yeah, no, these are...
They're like weirdos.
Yeah, no, this is... None of this is stuff I know. What was King Crimson's biggest hit? Starless.
I think... So King Crimson, I think, is one of those bands either you know nothing about or everything about, and I know nothing, so...
I know nothing.
Okay. All right, listeners, which...
But wait, can I share some of the song titles?
Yeah, please.
One is called The Battle of Glass Tears.
Oh, that is prog.
But hold on. This one, I think, is appropriate to our show.
Okay.
This one is Lark's Tongues in Aspic.
I have heard of that song. I don't know if I've heard it. Yes.
Wow.
That is appropriate. That is next week's topic.
Okay. All right. Matthew, anything else we need to say here about poppy seeds?
Nah.
Okay. We have some spilled mail today.
It's from listener Sophie, who writes, "Yesterday, I stumbled upon a few old episodes of How It's Made, and it got me thinking, are there any foods you like watching get made? Watching anything produced at an industrial scale fascinates me, even the basics like bread and cheese." Molly, what do you like watching get made?
Ooh, God. You know, the first thing that I thought of... Jeez, Matthew. I mean, who doesn't?
I made the stupidest face.
You made such a stupid face. You looked at me and you were like barely stifling a giggle. Okay. You know, something that I enjoy, and I feel like this is pretty obvious, is I find it intoxicating to watch saltwater taffy being pulled.
Oh, yes.
Like, I cannot figure out where the strands are going. Like, I don't understand what's happening with the machine.
It looks like a corpus callosum.
Yes.
Right?
It's connecting the left and right hemispheres of the world. It brings humanity together.
It
to
really
just
does.
Watch.
To the seaside.
I know that that's like really obvious, but I find it extremely pleasurable.
Yeah. I have been watching, this is not my now but wow, but it could be in principle. I've been watching this show on Netflix called The Makanai Cooking for the Maiko House. Have you heard of this?
No, I've been watching Love is Blind.
Okay, it was recommended to me by a friend of the show, Becky Selinget. The premise is like these two teenage girls from northern Japan go to Kyoto to train as Maiko to become geisha. And one of them does really well, and the other one is terrible at it, but is really good at cooking. And so she becomes like the cook for the house where everyone lives and trains to be Maiko.
Okay.
There is some amazing cooking in that. And like the stuff that I really like watching get made is like not like special, unusual food, but like ordinary food made by someone who's really good at it. So from my recent trip to Tokyo, so from that show, first of all, like on the second episode, she makes oyakodon, which is chicken and egg on rice, which is a just beautiful dish to watch being made perfectly, like getting the egg set at the perfect texture and then like doing, it's like made with two layers of eggs and then you like slide it out onto the rice, just like balletic movements.
Mm-hmm.
And I love watching tempura get made.
Oh my God. When you and I went to that tempura place.
Tenta, yeah.
Yes, that's famous for tempura fried eggs.
Oh, no, that's Tensuke, yes.
Yes. I could have watched that man. I mean, that man was a real performer.
I mean,
he loved to like make eye contact with one of the diners sitting at the counter as he is like effortlessly cracking this egg into a cauldron of bubbling oil.
Yeah.
It was amazing to watch him. But anyway, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Like making tempura, like you know, that the cook has to like monitor like a bunch of different pieces in hot oil at the same time and know exactly when each one is going to be ready. The ones who are good at it, like, you know, do not indicate in any way that this is mentally taxing. It's just like, okay, you know, I know what's going on with that piece, no problem. It's
mm-hmm,
great.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was a really good question.
It was a really good question.
Yeah, thank you so much, listener Sophie.
Molly, what you snacking?
Hey, what you snacking? You gotta tell me what you snacking. Or I'll release the kraken. So what you snacking?
What you snacking? So I go months at a time kind of forgetting that Trader Joe's exists.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I do go, I am always reminded again of the existence not only of Trader Joe's, but of Baby Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For some reason, I only ever buy Baby Bell cheese at Trader Joe's.
Okay, sure.
And as a kid, I hated Baby Bell. Like, I just thought it was so weird. Like, the texture's weird. You know, it has that processed cheese texture. It's a little, it's like firm, but it's also creamy. It's really weird.
How different is Baby Bell from Laughing Cow?
You know, okay, Laughing Cow is more spreadable.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Laughing Cow is almost, I think Laughing Cow is difficult to like transport without smushing, for instance.
Yeah, that is true.
Okay. Whereas Baby Bell is like designed to be transported. It is transporting.
I'm now imagining a movie like in the mode of Wages of Fear where someone is trying to transport a big load of
Baby Bell. Of Laughing Cow.
Without smushing it, and it's very intense.
Well, this is probably why Laughing Cow comes in that wonderful packaging, disc.
Mm-hmm.
All this to say, I have been really enjoying Baby Bell in a way that I never would have as a kid, because as an adult, I kind of like that weird, like mild Gouda flavor and kind of slightly gummy texture.
I haven't had it in a while, and Wotzel does bring it home from Trader Joe's sometimes. Next time I'm going to crack into one. It's not that I dislike it. I just sort of forget it's there.
You know, it's not great, but it gets the job done, and it's satisfying.
It looks like it's really satisfying to peel the wax off, right?
It is. Yeah, it's just, I like the flavor of it. It's quite creamy tasting and creamy feeling. June had thought that they didn't like Baby Bell. But recently I threw a couple in my bag when I was driving them somewhere. And June was like, can I try one again? They really liked it, but also said, you really need to have water nearby when you're eating this. Like, I think the feeling, like it's almost like mouth coating. Anyway.
Like a Celeste pizza for one.
That's exactly right. Anyway, but all this to say, I'm having a Baby Bell moment, and it is a perfect snack.
Baby Bell moments. I have been snacking on a gift from mom of the show, Judy Amster. It's Valrhona Guanaja Feves. So 70% chocolate discs, sort of bean-shaped discs. Mm-hmm. Perfect for snacking. I have finished them already. But Valrhona is my favorite snacking chocolate, and she got me exactly what I wanted. Thanks, mom of the show.
Way to go, Judy. Matthew, do you have a Now But Wow this week?
I do. Well, first of all, I do recommend the Maka and I Cooking for the Maiko House. I've only watched 2 episodes, but it's great. And I'm sure most of our listeners can't stand it when I do this, but as we've established, we don't have any listeners left, so only you can be annoyed with me. But I am recommending a comic that is currently only in Japanese, and I don't know if or when it will be translated, but I know we do have some listeners who speak Japanese. This is called Ohitori-sama Hoteru, which means like... One person hotel.
Okay.
By Maki Hirochi, who is the author and illustrator of Is Kichi Joji the Only Place to Live and Sketchy and other excellent comic series. The thing I love so much about a Maki Hirochi series is that she will start with a premise that seems too thin to be even called a premise and then just like spins gold from it for book after book. And this is like the first in a new series. And it's about Shiokawa-san, a woman who works as like an interior decorator for like a decoration staging firm, I think, and for research, and just because she likes to, goes and stays in hotels by herself. And there is very little more to it than just seeing how this person like lives and like experiencing her internal monologue when she is staying at a variety of different hotels by herself.
How do you, so Matthew, for those of us who are interested in reading these, whether or not we speak or can read in Japanese, how are you finding this stuff?
My first Maki Hirochi book was one of the Kichi Joji series, which I just found at a bookstore in Japan. And I was like, this looks interesting.
And that one has been translated.
That one has been translated. It's only available as an e-book, but I highly, highly, highly recommend that.
Can I find it through the library?
I don't know. That's okay. A good question, but it's on Kindle and it's quite inexpensive.
Okay.
And there are 6 volumes of that. So this, I just saw she had a new book and I'm like, she's one of my favorites. I'm going to get that book. I actually bought it twice by mistake.
And did you buy it on Kindle?
No, this one, I have a paper copy. I can go grab it and show you.
No, I'm just interested in how you learned about it.
Yeah, this one just because I was already kind of following her. Mm-hmm. And one other funny thing about this book is that it is based on a popular Instagram account, which I started following, which is just this woman who chronicles her stays at hotels and takes beautiful pictures. So Maki Hirochi turned this Instagram account into the premise of a book.
Oh my, that is brilliant.
Yeah, and so like there is very little to it other than like you just kind of learn who this person is and why she likes staying in hotels and what she likes and doesn't like about particular hotels. Yet it is a page turner, and like I think Maki Hirochi is one of the best writers I know, and I hope her work becomes huge worldwide. Please translate this book.
Yay! Okay. Very good to know, Matthew. Thank you. Our producer is Abby Circatella.
Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. And you can chat with other Spilled Milk listeners at...
everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com.
Great.
A delightful community. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. I'm Corpus Spongiosum.
I'm Corpus Cavernosum. God, I can't believe you did that, Matthew. That's so dumb.
You started it.
I did. Our producer, wow, I need a nap.
Well, you have to do a whole other episode.
Oh, no.
Then you can nap.
Okay.
Streaming May 23rd only on BET Plus. Miss Pat is back.
I'm excited.
And it's time for some grown-ass family time.
I am a man.
Oh, you a man?
That's right.
Then take my clothes off. You ain't pay for none of that on your back.
Dad, you can't ignore your mother forever. I've tried.
Would you like me to backhand you again?
The Miss Pat Show. Streaming May 23rd on BET Plus. To sign up and learn more, visit BET.plus.